into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The Football Show on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power.
Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
I'm prepared to anything I can.
Well,
to
do it then.
Again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should there be an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Now, you're welcome along to the Football Show. As you can imagine, we are talking Diego Maradona, who has passed away at just 60. I mean, his health was bad, and many suspected he wouldn't even reach this age, but it is still very, very young to go, a way to go. There's loads of texts in, you know. I mean, the talent was so pure and the life was so muddied, and he was so flawed in so many ways. But ultimately, it's the talent that people remember, because that's what they connected with initially and probably most vividly. For instance, Derek in Galway spent 6 months in Argentina a few years ago, framed pictures of Maradona alongside pictures of the Pope in shops, restaurants, bars, the same as we used to have of JFK. As we heard there in news headlines, 3 days of national mourning declared by the Argentinian government. Joe, we're looking at an Ayrton Senna-esque funeral in Argentina. I adored Maradona as a kid in 86. I remember my late mum buying me the Argentinian jersey in Port Leash and sewing the number 10 onto it, says Pat in Leash. Paddy in Athlone, I saw Maradona play for Argentina against Brazil at the 1990 World Cup. It was the day before Ireland-Romania in Genoa. I had all kinds of romantic notions about Brazilian football before that, but they kicked him up and down the pitch. Maradona, though, was sensational. He hit the crossbar, he put players into score. It was a privilege to have seen him play. I'm saddened to hear, says somebody else, of the death of a footballing icon this afternoon. He was my first football idol. It's amazing how many people are saying that. He was my first football idol as a young boy in the late 80s, early 90s, introduced to me by my late father. So many fond memories. But our sadness tonight is outweighed by the privilege and joy we felt when watching him in his prime. Sheer and absolute magic. His legacy will live forever. Somebody else, in an era of substandard pitches, harder tackling, less focus on development squads, nutrition, etc., ask a simple question. In this day and age, with softer tackling, better facilities, nutrition, name for me any player that would come into a bottom half team and single-handedly, through skill and leadership, bring that team to win 2 championships, playing with an average group of players like he did at Napoli. The jury rests, not to mention winning a World Cup for Argentina in 86, bringing them back to a final 4 years later with a very average team at the time, defeating Italy, the favourites, in the semis. For all his faults off the pitch, he was a genius with a football on it. In 1986, as somebody else, I watched every game of the World Cup. I remember being obsessed as a football mad 11-year-old with Maradona. In 1988, I had the pleasure of watching him play and being verbally abused at Wembley in a rest of the world versus the English game. In 2010, my son, I named my son rather after Diego Maradona. Today, the greatest footballer of all time left us. RIP Diego, says Glenn. Somebody sent in a quote from Arthur Hopcraft. I probably should have been familiar with Arthur. I wasn't. He's a scriptwriter, passed away maybe 10, 15 years ago. He had the quote. So the listener says, a time for Arthur Hopcraft's quote to help mark Maradona's death. What happens on the football field matters, not in the way food matters, but as poetry does to some people and alcohol does to others. It engages the personality. It has conflict and beauty. And when those two qualities are present together, in something offered for public appraisal, they represent much of what I understand to be art.
Enrique to Maradona. Different class.
He could really beat players. Like, he could dribble, he could go past players. Now, Messi is a great player, and Ronaldo is the great modern players, but they don't beat players the way this fella could beat them. And there's nothing better than somebody who can beat the opposition.
Dancing feet.
piece of play by Maradona. Te viene mal, sonríe con tus jugadores de fútbol que están dejando muy en alto y muy en claro su prestigio.
Well, I played against Diego Maradona at Hampden in 1979 when he was 18. He was absolutely sensational. All the Scottish players came off the pitch talking about this kid that was destined to become a superstar, and they weren't proved wrong. I believe in my time watching football there have been four great, great players that have been on another planet from the rest. Pele, Beckenbauer, Cruyff and Maradona.
Oh, lovely play there as Redondo tries to go through. There's a show! Glorious goal! He's done it! Maradona! And look at these emotional scenes!
Piede sulla palla, Spezia, parte il tiro! Rete! Rete! Maradona ha segnato! Magnifico calcio di punizione da parte della formazione napoletana! Il Napoli è passato in vantaggio.
Not really creating an awful lot. The best moments have come when from set situations.
Is Maradona?
This fella's in the box.
Oh, he's done it! Just as you were saying, creating nothing, unless he got into the box, he did it right on cue.
And Maradona gives Argentina the lead. The England players protesting to the referee, but the little man who started it by walking past Glenn Hoddle, that's where the ball came from Hodge. Maradona had continued the run forward, and the goal is given.
Maradona. Going at them again. Brilliant run by Maradona. Fantastic goal. Unbelievable. World class in the best sense of the phrase.
Diego Armando Maradona. Dilardi, the manager, wants them back to play on the game. But everyone in the stadium, the England fans included, the commentators, the press bench, everybody on their feet in acclamation of one of the greatest goals that the World Championship has seen. All from the feet and brains of one man.
Now you're welcome back. We are still talking about the passing of Diego Maradona. Very happy to say Graeme Souness joins us on the line. Evening, Graeme.
Good evening.
We're talking iconic here, to say the least.
Oh, yeah, I think he's, you know, everyone has a different opinion about, you know, who was the greatest. But I think it's safe to say he would be in anyone's top three or four. I was fortunate enough to have played against him several times. He went to Italy in 84 the same time as I did. I knew a wee bit about him, but not a lot. Didn't know what to expect. First time I played against him was in a friendly before the season started. And it was just, you knew you were in the company of greatness. You know, if you're a player and you're seeing it close up because you're on the same pitch as someone, and when they're that good, you know, I played with great players prior to going to Italy. But he was on another level.
So I suspect he was in your sphere of the field at times. What did you try and do to stop him?
He was tiny. I must have been a good stone and a half heavier than him, 4 or 5 inches taller than him. But he was totally fearless. And he just had, you know, if he tried to catch him, he would, you know, he'd get himself in there and out the way, or he'd see it coming. Or you would bounce off him because he'd have his weight in the right place at the right time when he made contact with him. But, you know, in those days, and that was the way it was, there was people trying to kick him. You couldn't sicken him. He'd keep coming back. And he was just so special, it's hard to find words that you've not already heard about him. Yeah. But as I say, I regard myself as lucky that I shared a pitch with him, I don't know, half a dozen times. because you know as much as you want to stand back and applaud it on occasion, you can't. You know, you're trying to stop him doing these things, and he single-handedly dragged Napoli, who are not a big football club but not a successful club, to two Serie A's in his time there. It's just so sad that another flawed genius that he couldn't. He obviously came under the influence of some really, really bad people, and it just ruined his life away from football, and that's why he's died so young, I would imagine.
Yeah, it does feel that way. I mean, to quote the man himself, he said, "I gave my opponents a big advantage. Do you know the player I could have been if I hadn't taken drugs?" And it seemed, the drugs had taken hold really from 1982, 83 territory, and then once he got to Naples, things kicked off on a whole other level. Obviously, he was banned for 15 months at one stage. I mean, that he was able to produce what he produced, given his life off the field, makes it all the more extraordinary.
100%. See, what you're talking about, great, it's a generation thing. You know, in those days when he was doing the ridiculous things with the ball, winning games single-handedly, the pitch was different. The rules of the game were different in terms of, there was, thuggery. It was allowed. People could... they were allowed a couple of challenges before the referee even spoke to them. And people would go out their way to because he was tiny. He was tiny. Okay, he was full of power, but he wasn't, he didn't have a big physique as such. He wasn't someone you stand back and go, whoa, what a specimen. But he was totally fearless. So you've got to factor all those two things in mind. Not good pitches, and people allowed to kick him. And he still produced the kind of performances he did. When you look at the pitches today and the stricter rules today, what Messi, what Ronaldo produced, can you imagine him playing today? Would he have possibly been better than Messi? I happen to think that Messi's the greatest player ever. And the reason I say that, you can throw George Best into the equation with Maradona, because they both, it wasn't about longevity. What they could produce was every bit as good as what Maradona could produce, but they've done it for a lot longer. You have to mention George in the same breath. There's a handful of people that you can talk about with that kind of ability, and Maradona was certainly one of them.
I don't know how often you go down a YouTube spree, but Maradona's there doing all sorts of things, and just as you were speaking there, it's reminded me of 1983 at the Nou Camp, the Butcher of Bilbao breaking...
Goodness.
It must be right up there as the worst tackle. Maradona said he could hear, he compared the sound to wood breaking. I mean, it's horrendous what he had to endure. That was 83. I mean, that could have finished him.
Well, easily. I mean, I think he didn't play too many games for Barcelona, did he? Did he play about 40 games for Barcelona, my memory?
Yeah.
He didn't play too many. And then when he came to Italy, I mean, what was he? He had about 8 years. 8 years with Napoli, but he didn't play too many games there either, I think I'm right in saying. So he must have had a fair bit of time out with injuries. But when he was on the pitch, I mean, he was such a special, special talent. Ridiculous talent. And I come back to it, like all the great players, they're fearless. You know, even today, people try to be physical to Messi. Hey, you can't intimidate him. You can't intimidate Ronaldo. They just, they see it coming, and they're prepared to put their body on the line. And I know it's a different game today. It's not as harsh and as physical. But they're still prepared to do that, knowing that there's people out there would like to hurt them.
Yeah.
And little Maradona must have... Well, he did know that. Every time he went out on the pitch, he knew there was someone that was going to try and slow him down one way or another, legal or illegal. And he dealt with it. And he took the ball under pressure, surrounded by men who were trying to do that to him. He never flinched from his... responsibilities. I'm sure you've had lots of people talking about, or you're going to have lots of people talking about him. But he's one of a handful that you know. I say to my son James, who's a mad football man. He's 21 years old. I've said this for the last 10 years. I said, enjoy this time, because people like Ronaldo and people like Messi don't come along every generation. And there's no obvious one on the horizon to come up to their standards. And when you think about it, there was Messi, and I'm trying to think if there was anyone in between Messi and these two now. And I can't think of one.
No.
They've been great players, but there's not been another one that's come you know, Ronaldo and Messi are the nearest thing from the 80s to now. So, you know, we should be rejoicing his footballing life and feel sad for his family at this time, and sad for him because, you know, 60 is way too young, way too young.
And to jog your memory then, so ahead of the 86 World Cup, by his own admission at that time, he had failed to deliver on all the potential. He was 25 years of age. I mean, he was a phenomenon, obviously, but Napoli hadn't won a league title, Argentina hadn't achieved, and then, whoom, you know, very quickly, 86 happens, and then first title with Napoli in 87. Those two teams, Napoli and Argentina, for instance, take Argentina firstly, Graham, in 86. What do they do in 86 without Maradona? Are they close to World Cup winners?
Well, you know, I think that's a loaded question. They don't get beyond the quarterfinals. They might not even get to the quarterfinals.
Right.
I think, did they lose their very first game to someone in the qualifying stages? I think they did, you know. I think they lost their very first game. I think, listen, he carried them single-handedly. You know, goals change games.
Yeah.
His goals won them the World Cup. His goals won Napoli the Serie A twice.
Yeah.
You know, when people talk about one man doesn't make a team, but if you're that good, it does. And he did.
And from your time in Italy, you know, you went obviously to Sampdoria in 84, the same year he arrived in Serie A as well. Can you remember from your time there, was he like, you know, front page news? Was he on TV all the time? Yeah, he was big deal. Italians were obsessed with him too, yeah?
Yeah, because he had that magic. You know, he was a dribbler. He ran with the ball. He scored spectacular goals. And he was a thought genius. So he's on the front page. If I say, obviously I can't remember in great detail, but he was always on the front page, and it wasn't just on the Monday morning after the Sunday matches. You know, Maradona in training, Maradona doing whatever. But he was the biggest name, and all the biggest names in world football were there at the time. But he was the biggest of them all. He was the one that sold the newspapers. He was the one that, you know, people talked about more than anybody else. He's the one that on a Monday morning would be eulogising about what a ridiculous thing he did in the 90 minutes on the Sunday. He was ridiculously good. And I come back, I'm blessed that I shared the pitch with him, I don't know, half a dozen times. I mean, I spoke to someone else about him already tonight, and I struggle for words. Other than that, I feel sad, obviously, but as part of me thinks that I was lucky boy to have shared the same football pitch with him.
Yes, I do know what you mean, because he was at a certain level that sometimes you need to just see what he did to really understand what we're talking about here.
Yeah, because if you're a player, you know how difficult it is for, you know, to do the things that he was doing effortlessly. You know, as a player, you're aware of what your limitations are. He wouldn't appear like Messi, like Ronaldo. He would appear not to have, like George Best, appear to have zero limitations. They could do anything they wanted. And he's one of a handful of players that have kicked the ball.
Was it an open secret in the game that he had his troubles off the field during the early 80s, mid-80s, word got around?
Yeah, I think it was written about as well that the company he kept in Naples was not conducive to living a good lifestyle. And isn't it strange that someone pointed that George Best died on this day?
Yeah, 15 years to the day, yeah.
Can you believe that? That's, you know, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
What a coincidence. Sad.
In terms of his best attributes, we're talking about someone who could do it all. I mean,
you don't become one of the best players ever with having any weaknesses.
Yeah.
You know, the names you're, people you've talked about, Pelé, George Best, Maradona, Messi, Ronaldo, would you describe any of them as having any weaknesses or being particularly good at something? They were just particularly good at being brilliant.
Yeah. Well, with Maradona, what jumps to mind is the dribbling and just what he could do with the left foot, free kick, shots, anything.
My lasting memory was him scoring a perfectly good header against England in the 86 World Cup. That's what I remember.
They're still going on about it.
Yeah, don't know why.
But yeah, look, it's as you said. I mean, who's in that group? Best, I guess. Cruyff, I guess. Pele, Ronaldo, Messi, and then
I'm not sure. I'm going to put Cruyff into that. I think definitely a lot of people scream. People are phoning after this. For me, I'd put Pele in it. The little I saw Pele. But then definitely the current two, Ronaldo and Messi, Maradona. So we've got Maradona, we've got Messi. There's one in there, but I didn't see him. But the reason I'm going to mention his name is when I was a player at Liverpool, all of them said the best British player ever was who? And they must have been, when you think about it, they must have been including George in this as well. Who does Bob Paisley, Joe Fagan, and Ronnie Moran and Shankly would have said the best British player ever? Who would have said?
John Charles?
No.
Bobby Charlton?
No.
Go on.
Tom Finney.
Okay.
Tom Finney. And to a man, anyone who saw him play would say the exact same thing.
Right.
That he was, you know, this is not my opinion. I'm telling you what real football people said. People I respected their opinions. They would include Tom Finney into this group.
So
how good must he have been?
Well, not too bad. So you do the math here. We mightn't see another who's in that group for another 20, 30 years very easily.
But that's, you know, that is, I mean, there's no one. I don't think Neymar, we thought was going to be a very, very special player. And I suppose he is, but he's not. He's not Messi.
Mm.
He's not Ronaldo, and he's not Maradona. There's no one else.
No.
There's no one else.
I've a soft spot for Zidane, but I appreciate he's not in that.
Zidane. I would put Zidane. I'd put Zidane and Cruyff just outside that group.
Yeah.
They reckon De Stefano was an unbelievable player. I mean, there's been some great players. I mean, there's great players, and then there's that handful that I think that are on another planet to anybody else. And that's a debate that anyone listening to your show tonight would have, and would all, you know, if everyone picked their top 10 players ever, we'd all have a different 10. And that's how football should be.
Mm. But the one guarantee is Maradona's one of those in everyone's top five, at least.
Yeah, and that's not just because we're talking about his passing.
No.
That would, you know, if you'd asked this question yesterday, you'd be getting the same answer from me.
Listen, great to have you on tonight. Thanks so much, Graeme Souness.
No, pleasure. It's always a pleasure, guys. Cheers.
Before England can recompose, still reeling from the disputed first goal, Maradona strikes again.
Inside their own half, Maradona turns like a little eel and comes away from trouble. Little squat man comes inside Budger, leaves him for dead. Outside Fenwick leaves him for dead and puts the ball away. And that is why Maradona's the greatest player in the world. He buried the English defence. He picked up that ball 40 yards out. First he left one man for dead. First he went past Saxon. It's a goal of great quality by a player of the greatest quality. It's England 0, Argentina 2. The first goal should never have been allowed. But Maradona has put the seal on his greatness. He's left his thumbprint on this World Cup. He scored a goal that England just couldn't cope with. They couldn't face up to. It was beyond their ability. It's England 0, Diego Maradona 2.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Now you're welcome back. Champions League has taken a back seat for us this evening, you'll appreciate, but I should tell you Liverpool are 2-0 down at home to Atalanta after 72 minutes. And in that group, Group D, Ajax 3-0 up now against FC Midtjylland. Already this evening, Manchester City have beaten Olympiacos by a Phil Foden goal to nil. Real Madrid 2-0 up away to Inter, and Borussia Mönchengladbach 4-0 up at home to Shakhtar Donetsk. Peter Reid, good evening.
How we doing?
So you've had a few messages today.
Well, obviously, sad news. I mean, Diego Maradona, I mean, he's been one of the greatest footballers ever to walk the planet. And coincidentally, the same day as the great George Best died as well. Mm. So, you know, it is a sad. He's only 60 years of age. He's still young, and it's a sad day for anybody who loves football.
It sure is. You're inextricably linked to him in some people's minds for obvious reasons.
I wish I was linked a bit closer. Like, I wish I'd have got him, but there you go.
Well, he wasn't that easy to get, was he?
Yeah, he's a good player. He was a chop. I mean, the first goal, he cheated. And the God, well, it wasn't my God. But when you talk about the second one, it was, I mean, a genius that way. You know, absolutely outstanding footballer. And one of the greatest. I mean, it's always hard. You know, you look at Di Stefano, Puskas, George Best, Bobby Charlton, Cruyff, Messi, you know, Zidane, Ronaldo, but Diego Pelé, Diego Maradona was up there with the absolute best.
Peter, having been at such close quarters to him, what made him so difficult to stop?
I think he had pace. You know, but if you got pace and you haven't got a football brain and you haven't got strength, the only thing he didn't have, I think, was a right foot. But when you got a left foot like him, which was a wand, nearly as good as Sheedy's, you've got an extreme talent. And 86, besides doing us in the quarters. I mean, against Belgium, where the great man marker, Eric Gerets, you know, he turned him inside out. And in the final, he was the best player in the pitch against Germany. He was just at the unique top of his talent.
Yes, in 86, he was the captain. He played every minute. He scored 5 goals. He had 5 assists. And that doesn't even begin to capture what he...
And it
doesn't even begin to capture just how amazing he was. Your memory of that day, like... It's funny, a lot of the footage is emerging now on social media or around the place, and, you know, he did some amazing warm-ups before games, dancing to music almost. Do you remember him catching your eye that day in 86 in advance of the game even?
Yeah, we had, I mean, I'd seen him against Scotland when he was 17 and go past Alan Hansen. I'd seen him at Old Trafford to Barcelona when he was injured, but... You'd seen him, and you were always aware of him because over in Mexico, you know, South America, he was even though he's from Argentina, he was the superstar, if you like. So you were aware of him, and he did things with the ball, and you think, you know, we've got it all on here today against this fella, you know, and it proved to be, you know. He was an outstanding. I had a chance to meet him there once or twice as well. Later on, when he was in Dubai, and we went to Jordan and spoke to him through an interpreter, and he was there. He was a funny. He had a nice manner with him. You know, he took the mic and I took it back, and it was good. It was good banter, if you can have banter with an interpreter. But he was a great, great footballer.
Yeah, because, I mean, as much as the genius this evening, we've also heard, you know, he was a flawed human being as well.
And,
he found life tough. So I didn't realise you'd met him. So you got a feel for him as a person. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he had the problems with drug abuse. We know that. But when you think of him, like, he brought up in a shanty town just outside the Buenos Aires and what he got to, and, you know, his fame, did he have any privacy? So you can never judge, can you? You can never judge. I mean, I prefer to judge him as a footballer, and he was one of the greatest.
To be honest, I'm not sure you can have his upbringing and then be that famous and be well-balanced at the end of it.
I think it's tough, and you know, to leave his beloved Boca Juniors and go to Europe at such an early age. Back then, I think it takes time to adjust. And I think he was at his most, what's the word, comfortablest or peaceful when he was on a football pitch.
Yeah.
You know, and he showed us all that talent. Hey, listen, I still got the hump with the handball, and he's still a bit bitter about it, but you just got to, you cannot discount his genius. You can't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you think Graeme Souness was just on before you, you know, and he was saying, well, there's Pele and there's Maradona, and then for him, really, there's nobody in that sphere until Ronaldo, Messi. So it's very possible we're not going to, you know, we're talking about literally a handful that are just so much better than the rest that even great, great footballers hold their hands up and say, this guy is just different stratosphere.
Yeah, I put Messi in that group, but he was right up there. Right, I mean, and when you look at a whole nation, he sort of took. I mean, when Pelé won it with Brazil in 70, I mean, he had a great team with him in 58 and 62. He had real good players, you know. But Valdano was a top. To be fair, there were some good players, but he sort of dragged them. He sort of dragged them by himself. I'm not saying he's a one man team because that's impossible, but the influence he had. It was amazing.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're going to see that goal for the next few days every time you turn on the TV.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Yeah, you made me day, haven't you? But I'm sorry I was a bit late because it's been a bit hectic.
No, you're fine. Thanks for checking in. Peter Reid, thank you.
Ta-da.
That's Peter Reid there. And younger listeners, he's the bloke running after Maradona in 86, if you're wondering why we decided to check in with Peter. I'm sure everyone knows that. That's the thing about Maradona. Younger listener, older listener, these goals are all just iconic and we've all seen them a gazillion times. We'll take a short break. Obviously, his time at Napoli, and it was covered so brilliantly in the recent documentary, which you must check out if you haven't seen it. And I'll probably revisit it myself over the next few days. But his time at Napoli was extraordinary, every bit for off the pitch as much as on the pitch. So Paddy Agnew, Irish journalist over in Italy around that time, I met Maradona on numerous occasions, is going to give us some memories in just a moment.
Enrique to Maradona. Different class.
Different class! When they talked about the great players of World Championship football, this man will be on a pedestal. Diego Armando Maradona.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Welcome back. Liverpool is still 2-0 down at home to Atalanta. One of the extraordinary aspects of Maradona's career, obviously, is at Napoli, where he spent 7 years, 1984 to 91. He went to Barcelona initially, world record transfer. And then 2 years after that, another world record transfer. The first player to break the record twice, went to Napoli and spent 7 years there. Finally won the Serie A title in 87, won it again a couple of years after that. There was some European success, there were Italian Cups as well. And that's just the on-the-field stuff, which is the least dramatic angle of all. Paddy Agnew, evening.
Good evening, Joe. Can you hear me this time?
I can. We still have a delay, so I'm going to keep my questions short and you can keep your answers as long and plentiful as you want. Maradona, Napoli, the recent documentary is just, you know, extraordinary, the extent to which, you know, he was so involved with the Camorra, the way his life was out of control in some ways, and yet in other ways, he was, you know, doing the most magical things. So you were there, you were in Italy at this time. Talk to us.
Well, I was very lucky. I was one of the reasons I went to Italy, among other things, was to report in Serie A. In particular, there were guys like Maradona and Platini that I really wanted to see play. So those were the halcyon days. Maradona was there for the best years of his life. There's no doubt about it. He was 25 when he got to Italy, and he had, you know, seven extraordinary incident-packed years. I'll tell you one thing about him. I mean, this is my first one, I think, of Maradona at Napoli. I remember very clearly the day they beat Fiorentina to win their first ever title. And in those days, one of the great pleasures for me was to go down to Naples for their home games pretty regularly. And so I was there, obviously, the day they won the title. I remember getting off the train at the Campi Flegri station and looking around me, and there was blue bunting everywhere, there was flags, there were horns blaring. This was about 3 hours before the game kicked off, and it was obviously going to be a very special day. But as I was warming up to the San Paolo Stadium, I looked in a couple of shop windows, And I saw what looked like a prayer in the window. And the prayer went this. I'll have to look it up, remind myself of it, but our Maradona, who takes the field, we have hallowed thy name. Your kingdom is Napoli. Do not lead us into disappointment, but deliver unto us the title. And that prayer just about sums up the extraordinary bond, the extraordinary link that there was between Maradona and Napoli, Maradona and the city of Naples, Maradona and the Neapolitans. He really was fantastically important to the club, not for nothing. He re-established a sense of southern pride in a city which had for long been berated and criticized by the Northerners for being chaotic, disorganized, and mafia-ridden. And he presented a different face of Napoli with that winning team. Not for nothing, he was made, in recent years, he was made an honorary lifelong citizen of Naples. And tonight, the mayor's office in Naples is saying that there's a very strong possibility that the San Paolo Stadium will be renamed the Diego Armando Maradona Stadium.
Wow, extraordinary. That would be something. Well, did you get the impression at the time that he was deeply troubled by the mafia situation, or did he take it in his stride, or do we know?
I think we know a bit. He wasn't deeply troubled by it. The reality seems to me, my reading of it was always this. When he got to Naples, he was, and by the way, his getting to Naples, there were those who suggest that the large amount of money that was paid for him, some of it came from organized crime. That's never been proved, and it's hard to prove that. But what is true is as soon as he got to Naples, he was obviously a figure of great interest to the organized crime syndicates. He was very good for business. They control a lot of the Napoli gadgetry business, the Napoli merchandising stuff, and they made a lot of money out of it. So it was in their interest that he did well. And he received a phone call one day from somebody who said he was speaking on behalf of the Giuliano family. Now, the Giuliano family were a leading Camorra family in Naples at the time. And they asked him, they said to him, look, the Giuliani family want to meet you. Would you come to lunch on such and such a day? And so he did. He turned out, he went to lunch. And later, when he was asked about this by magistrates many years later, he said, well, I went to lunch with all sorts of, I met all sorts of fans of Napoli. I didn't know who they were. I thought they were just businessmen. But my suspicion is that Diego's dope habit, particularly cocaine, that he was into that before he even came to Naples, that the Giuliani people realized, Maradona's got a bit of an interest there, and we can feed his habit, and did feed his habit. Which in itself is one of the most remarkable aspects of Maradona's career, because, if you think of the quality of football he managed to produce, often without proper training and certainly playing, having a series of late and very rowdy nights and taking all sorts of substances, it's hard to know what he would have actually achieved. And if he hadn't been so hooked on drugs, one indication of what he might have achieved came in that infamous Mexico World Cup, because that was one of the few occasions when he trained really hard, really seriously. He came up to Rome to the Olympic Committee's headquarters. He had a team of doctors around him. He trained himself for about 2 months before that World Cup, a specific program. He got himself very fit. He also dropped the habit for 2 months. And the results were, you know, the performances he gave in that World Cup and, you know, that goalie that you've just been looking about, the second goal against England, that was the sort of player he was. And he could have, he didn't always live up to that, but only because he abused himself.
Right, okay, fascinating. I hadn't realised that. That's very interesting to hear. What about the Napoli team he played for? I mean, was it a one-man army again, a la Argentina in 86? I mean, were they offensive? Were they defensive? Were they built to suit him? Obviously, the Italian league had a reputation then for being quite defensive, although it was star-studded in that era as well.
Well, no, Joe, I mean, it was very similar to the Argentina team with which you won the World Cup, in the sense that it was utterly Maradona dependent. He created all the fireworks. He scored most of the goals. You know, there were good players. So Bruno Giandarlo, Carnevale up front, Di Napoli midfield. There were Bagni in midfield. They had a number of good players, some of them internationals even. So they weren't a selection of duffers, but there's no doubt about it. Maradona was one of those players who almost redefined the most fundamental law of football, which is that it's a team game. Mm. Because there were times when you're watching Maradona, you would think there was actually only a one-man team game.
Paddy, great to have you on this evening. Thanks so much for your time. That's Paddy Agnew there, expert in Italian football, amongst many other things. So we're pretty much done. It's gone full time, by the way, at Anfield. We did okay with Paddy, given the delay, I think. It's gone full time at Anfield. 2-0 win for Atalanta. Players pumped on the pitch, as you can imagine. The Atalanta ones, not the Liverpool ones, who are slumping off themselves. Tomorrow morning, OTBAM is coming at you. Max Darcy's going to look ahead to the weekend's Camogie semi-finals. Tony Kelly is going to be on with the lads, which will be good. Clare's Tony Kelly, current hurler of the year, in my opinion. Obviously, the semi-finals and final probably changed that. But if things were to stop today, probably current hurler of the year. And then tomorrow evening, Enda McGinley, new Antrim manager, newly installed, is going to be on with Nathan. John Giles, it'll be great to get John's take on Maradona. And Thanksgiving Day football, NFL, Mike Carlson will be on as well. A text to finish from Sean then. Amazing the amount of people who were of a certain age in 86 and he just caught by Maradona. That's the overwhelming response. That's the age group who are texting in this evening. Those who were of an age who probably didn't get to see him very often. And then he blew up on their screens in full Technicolor with Jamie McGee calling the action. Although, wasn't that interesting what Paddy was saying about his preparation for that tournament. Good evening, Joe. As a sports nut growing up, I loved Maradona, but Diego was preaching to the converted. I grew up in a house where my dad would sneer at foreign sports and my two sisters wanted Carnation Street on instead. But from watching Argentina in 86 and 90 and Napoli on Monday Night Football, Maradona converted everybody in my house. My mother would swoon at the things he was able to do. I tried to explain to my 14-year-old son what Maradona was, but I can't. I can only express it with the same swooning noise of my mother. On that note, Sean, we'll bid you good night. Thanks.